All right, teaching time. Here we go. Last time that we were all together was two Sundays ago, so it was the Sunday before the New Year's holiday, and I spoke to you then about making God first priority in your life, like really first priority. Today I'm going to extend that idea out a little bit further, and we're going to talk about, well, if God is first priority in your life, then it stands to reason that he should also be first priority in your financial life. And so, how about this for you hardy souls who ventured out here on a single-digit temperature day, and I come at you now, I reward you with a sermon on a topic that has made churchgoers from coast to coast shudder. We're going to talk about tithing today. Aren't you glad you got out of bed? Actually, it is a good sermon topic, and I'm serious about that. Two men were marooned on an island. One man paced back and forth, worried and scared, while the other man sat back and was sunning himself. The first man said to the second man, "Aren't you afraid we're about to die?" And the second man said, "No, I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe faithfully to my church. My pastor will find me." Get one little tithing joke in there for you. Okay, seriously now. What does the Bible have to say to people who are seeking to follow Christ with their lives? What does the Bible have to say about tithing? What does it mean to put God first in our financial lives? Well, we got to start with defining that word tithe or tithing. The Hebrew word translated as tithe in our Bibles literally means a tenth. A tenth. A Bible dictionary defines tithing in this way: it is the practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. Now, some of you in the building today, I'm sure, are tithing to our church, giving one tenth of your income to God in the form of offerings to Calvary. By the way, if you are or if you are not, I have no idea because I don't look at those numbers, nor do I want to. But those of you who are tithing regularly, let me ask you, do you remember what it felt like when you first started tithing? I wonder if it was a painful experience for you at the beginning. Did you feel that a little bit? Maybe for some of you it wasn't a hard thing to transition to, but I think for many people, especially people who have been doing their financial lives for a while without tithing, and they start thinking about given 10%, and it hurts a little bit at the beginning. I did not start out tithing in my early 20s. I would give now and then. I had been taught to tithe by my parents, and eventually I did start giving a percentage of my income to the church. But I'll be honest, it was hard to get myself to do it at first. I was saving for things. I was paying off debt, and money was tight, and it was hard to think about giving that big chunk away. I made it easier on myself. I started with 5%, and I told myself I would go up 1% each year. I'm not recommending that as the right way to do it. That's just what I did in my 20s, and I did eventually make it up to 10%. It wasn't easy. Well, then Anna and I got married, and we joined our finances, and after a while, you know, she started looking at our spending patterns and so forth, and she noticed that while I was tithing 10%, it was 10% of our take-home pay. And so she came to me and said, "No, that's not right. We got to be tithing 10% on our full income, our gross, not our net." And now I would love to tell you that I was so spiritually mature. I said, "You know, yes, that was an error on my part, and we will make that adjustment." And I, you know, no, this is another round of pain for me. I'd worked so hard to get to 10%, and I was finally there, and now I got to something more. I got to take dollars out of this budget category and move it over here so I can make sure we're tithing on our gross income rather than our net. I was a little grumpy with Anna, and she brought that up at that point. So I wonder, if you're tithing now, did you ever go through anything like that when you were first starting? It can be a little painful at the beginning. Well, does the Bible really tell us to tithe as Christ followers? It's a pretty big number, isn't it? 10%. Was Anna right? Are we supposed to give 10% of our full income, our pre-tax income, or is it 10% of our after-tax income? Should we see what the scriptures have to say about this today? Well, the first recorded instance of a tithe being offered in the Bible is found way before the Israelites even became a nation or a people group. The giver was Abraham, and the receiver was a man named Melchizedek. This is Genesis 14. Little background on this. Some nearby tribes had come into the area, that the region that Abraham had been living in, and they had basically raided it. Their plunder included Abraham's nephew Lot. And so Abraham, in response, gathered the many men within his clan who were able to fight, and he went out to get Lot back. They defeated the raiding tribes and brought everything and everyone back, and we pick up the story at that point. And this is still, Abraham's name has not changed yet. It's still Abram in this passage. So this is Genesis 14, verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. This is an interesting passage. Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. He was king of Salem, and Salem is just another name for a city that we know very well, Jerusalem. But we're not talking here about an Israelite king or an Israelite priest. The Israelites would come out of Abraham's descendants, but that was many years away. Abraham recognized this Melchizedek as someone who served the one true God, and so he offered him a tenth of the spoils he had just acquired by defeating these raiding parties. Now, you might think that Abraham had gone out to simply right a wrong. He had gone out militarily here to right a wrong and to bring everything back and put it in there, put things where they had been before the raiding had happened. But that was apparently not how it worked in those days. To the victor goes the spoils, right? So Abraham was within his rights here, it seems, to take all of these people and livestock and wealth that he had just retrieved from the invaders as his own. It was kind of like he had just won the lottery big, or he had received a big inheritance. And the first thing that Abraham did with his windfall was to seek to honor God by giving one of God's servants 10% of all that he had just received. A tithe. Read just a bit more there. This is verse 21 now. The king of Sodom then said to Abram, "Give me the people that had been stolen from my country and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your very great reward." And God then goes on to establish a very significant covenant with Abraham in that chapter. So Abraham got this really healthy chunk of income. Now, it's not income like we are used to receiving. Came in a little bit of a different form back then, but it was still income nonetheless to Abraham. And the first thing he did was honor God by giving 10% of it to a priest who was serving the one true God. The next thing he did is though he could have kept all these spoils to himself, we just read, he gave it all back to the original owners. Why? Because he didn't want anyone to say that they had made him rich. God was his provider. And he wanted people to know it. He honored God in this. And then what happened? Well, God blessed Abram, saying that he himself will be Abraham's reward. And God at your side is a better reward than any chunk of income. Well, as you know, the Israelites eventually did become a people, Abraham's descendants. And God took them as a special people unto himself and associated his name with them. As God's special people, he gave them a law. And within the laws God laid down for the Israelites, we find commands to tithe. Look at Leviticus 27. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. No one may pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. So this was an agrarian society. It was not a society of paper money and banks and 401ks. It was a land of crops and fruit harvests and sheep. And when the harvest came in, 10% of it belonged to God. Where did the tithes go? Just like Abraham gave his tithe to a priest, the Israelites were instructed to give their tithes to the priests. See Numbers 18 now. This is, again, God speaking. I give to the Levites, that's the priestly tribe, all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. And remember, the tent of meeting was where God had his presence, where people would come to worship him. The temple would later replace the tent of meeting. From now on, the general Israelites must not go near the tent of meeting, or they will bear the consequences of their sin and will die. It is the Levites who are to do the work at the tent of meeting. They will receive no land inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. So the 10% tithe was given to God, but God, in turn, then directed those resources to be given to those who made their full-time occupation serving him in his sanctuary, the priestly tribe of the Levites. Well, the Levites weren't exempt from this either. Interestingly, continuing on Numbers 18, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering." So everybody was supposed to give a tenth of all of their income. There is a passage that suggests it wasn't completely, just fully the Levites that got all of the money. Look at Deuteronomy 24. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So some of these resources went to feed the hungry, went to support those who had no way of making a living for themselves. God then even goes so far as to tell the Israelites what they ought to say to him after they have given their tithes. Look at this in Deuteronomy 26. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us as you promised on oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. So pretty clear from this that God's intention is to bless those who obey him and who put him first in their finances. He even commanded the Israelites to remind him of it. Okay, I've tithed. Bless me now. It's a command. God's blessing follows those who were obedient in tithing. Since we're traipsing our way through the Old Testament here, there's one more financial law that was given to the Israelites that's worth looking at here, and it's called the giving of first fruits. Exodus 23:19. God tells the Israelites to bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18:4 says, you are to give to the Levites the first fruits of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the first wool from the shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all of your tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always. So the first fruits offering appears to be an addition to the tithe. Elsewhere we learn that it is to be given as an expression of gratitude to God for bringing them into the promised land. And it's a bit of a mysterious law because there's not a whole lot of detail on exactly how much of the harvest they were supposed to give as a first fruits offering. Nonetheless, it was a command from God to the Israelites. Along the same lines, we see this command in Exodus 13. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. No mystery about the quantity of the first fruits offering here. The firstborn male of all the livestock in Israel was to be given to God. And even the firstborn human son in each family was to be given to God. You see there, though, that God did provide. There was a provision given for people to be able to redeem or to buy back their human firstborn sons. So in essence, this ended up being money or goods that were actually the offering rather than the baby boy. But the principle is there, isn't it? Give God the first of all your good things. And don't just give God the first of all your good things. Give God the best of all your good things. Numbers 18, you must present as the Lord's portion the best part of everything given to you. Exodus 23:19 again, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Leviticus 1, God said, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. We're talking about making God first in our lives, about making God first in our finances. When we look into Old Testament law, we see God asking for the Israelites not only to tithe, but to give him the first portion of everything that they receive to live on, to give him the best portion. Well, this just all applies to us, right? We're supposed to give 10%, give him the first and the best, and just go home. Well, guess what? Just to give us some more stuff to talk about this morning, I have to tell you next that there is nowhere in the New Testament that tells us to tithe. This is all Old Testament stuff. This is all the relationship between God and the Israelites in the Old Testament. So how are New Testament, New Covenant followers of Jesus Christ supposed to relate to the Old Testament command to tithe? Let's talk about that for a little bit. New Testament scripture may not specifically tell us to tithe, but I think we've seen pretty clearly in our study of the kingdom of God that Jesus preached about, that he was bringing about, that giving is one of its major characteristics. Remember, we are to humble ourselves and to love and serve and give to others and to God. And God, in turn, humbled himself and came to love and serve and give to us. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 8 of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus gave his everything to us. Therefore, Paul says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. We are to be givers. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. According to Jesus, the first and greatest commandment. If we are to love God that much with our full heart, making him our first priority, shouldn't our spending habits be in line with that? Wouldn't we want to give to the one who we love with our full heart? Wouldn't we want to give to see his purposes accomplished? What's that saying? Put your money where your mouth is? We put our money where our heart is. So where is your heart? Put our money where our heart is. Jesus flips those two terms in Matthew 6, although it's a similar message. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Read that passage with me. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't grip tightly to the things of this world. It includes your money. Open those hands. Don't make money your goal. Make God your goal. Be a giver. So giving is a major characteristic of the kingdom of God that Jesus was initiating in the New Covenant, New Testament era. Okay, so giving is something we're supposed to be doing generally as Christ followers. What about this 10% deal, though? Are we literally supposed to be giving 10% of our income? Jesus made it clear that in the shift from Old Testament to New Testament, that brought about with it an even greater emphasis on paying attention to the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. I think we've looked at that enough. I don't need to prove it to you again. So what is the spirit behind the Old Testament laws of tithing and first fruits? What's the spirit behind the laws of the Old Testament tithing and first fruits? Well, isn't it just the same as the point of my sermon 2 weeks ago? To make God first priority in your life? It's good and it is right for us to make him first priority in all areas of our lives, including our money. And this was demonstrated in Israel through these practices of tithing and first fruits. God comes first in all things. I think that this is part of the principle behind those laws, part of the spirit of those laws. In giving the 10% and the first of everything that came to them, the Israelites also demonstrated a recognition that everything they had came from God in the first place anyway. They were utterly dependent upon God to provide for them. So I think that recognizing our dependence upon God as provider, it was also part of the meaning and the spirit behind these laws for the Israelites. Tithing was a way for them to express gratitude for all that God had done for them. Giving the best portions shows their love for God, that they love him with their full heart. They didn't want to keep the best portions for themselves. They wanted to give it to him. So I think these are the principles behind these Old Testament laws. They show that God comes first. They show that human beings are dependent upon God way more than upon any earthly source of income. These practices express gratitude to God. They express love to God. Jesus taught us to follow the spirit of God's law. What do you think? Do you think the spirit behind these Old Testament laws of tithing and first fruits fit within the life of a Christ follower today? I'd say yes to that. Not about the letter of the law. You know, I really don't believe God is up in heaven with a big tally sheet saying, well, this guy gave 10% and this person gave 9%. I don't think that it works that way. It's not about the letter of the law. It's about the meaning behind the practices. It's about where your heart is. So yes, I think that today's Christ followers are still to give abundantly to God and to his work in the world. And I think that we ought to be doing so in a significant enough way that it shows that we are putting God first in all aspects of our lives. That it shows we are trusting in God as our provider rather than in earthly sources. And we should be giving enough that it shows that we love him. So is 10% the right number to accomplish that? I don't know, maybe it should be more than 10%. What's God leading you to? I do personally think that 10% is a good target number. And you know why? 10%, it's not big enough to cripple you financially, but it is big enough to feel it. It's big enough to be uncomfortable, like all those uncomfortable feelings I had when I was first starting to move in that direction. It's big enough to show that you are making God a big priority, that you love him, that you're trusting in him. Now, we are in the biblical age of freedom from legalism. We're in the biblical age of freedom from legalism, so I am not going to tell you that you have to tithe. But personally, I do think that 10% is a good number and a good discipline for Christians. Okay, so there was no distinction in the Old Testament laws about pre-tax and after-tax income, all right? They were asked to tithe on their full income. So again, we're in the biblical age of freedom from legalism. So you decide whether the spirit of the law in these tithing laws should translate into a tithe for you on before tax or after tax income. You work that out with God. Oh, there's one more aspect of all of this that we shouldn't forget to come back to. Remember that God was so intent on blessing those who obeyed and who tithed that he actually commanded the Israelites to remind him to bless them? Blessing is part of tithing. Abraham tithed after his big windfall. He then honored God by giving all that stuff back, saying, God's my provider. And then God blessed Abraham in a big way. I still think this is true today. I can tell you that the more that Anna and I have put God first in our lives, the more we have seen him show up and taken care of us. There was a time when things were looking pretty bleak for us financially. There had been a loss of income, and we were taking on debt in a hurry. And you know how it goes in those moments. Those are the moments where you're kind of wondering where God is, right? But we kept tithing. We kept looking for his path for us. And pretty soon he brought new jobs for both of us. He brought provision and blessing in many unexpected ways. There was a time period after that low point that we went through where God was just doing thing after thing for us. And in the midst of all that, we were both working at Ameriprise Financial in downtown Minneapolis at the time. In the midst of that time period where thing after thing was happening, we even won a company-wide drawing for free parking in the Ameriprise underground parking lot in their building. And that saved us about $100 a month in parking costs. And Anna was pregnant at the time, so it meant that during those winter months that year where she was going to be pregnant, we didn't have to park so far away and walk on icy sidewalks. We could just, oh man, it felt good to just ride those doors open up and you just go down into the heated garage. That felt pretty good. Never could afford that otherwise. So there were so many things and crazy things that you just knew it was God doing this. And looking back now, it's pretty clear to see that God had brought us into that time of financial difficulty to get us to move. And, sometimes you got to shut doors on us to get us to move. Otherwise, we stay where we're at. It also made us more dependent upon him. And then he came around and he dug us out of it and did so in somewhat miraculous ways, I thought. So guess what? I'm not grumpy anymore about tithing 10%. You know that? I do it gladly now. I've got God as my provider and I don't have to worry. Here's another story for you. A woman named Lisa Natoli blogged about her tithing experience. She says, "Tithing changed my life. 2 years ago in 2012, I didn't even know what tithing was. Never heard of the term before. Someone told me about it, giving 10% of all the money that comes to me to acknowledge that God is my source and supply. I thought they must be crazy. But I was open to trying new things because I recognized in the area of money I was definitely blocked. At the time, I was deep in debt, 3 credit cards. I didn't have any money. I didn't know how I was going to tithe. I couldn't even pay my own bills. But I knew something had to change, and I thought, I've got nothing to lose. So I started keeping track of all the money that came to me in a little notebook. I wrote down every penny, every dime, every dollar. I blessed it. I calculated how much was 10% and sent it back out. I did this before I paid my bills. I did this before I spent it on other things. I started to know that the first 10% did not belong to me, and I put it right back into circulation. In about my 3rd week of tithing, I received an unexpected check of $10,000 from someone who had read a book I wrote a few years earlier and wanted to thank me for all the years of blogging and writing. I thought it was a fake check at first. Then I realized it was real. And then came the bigger realization that I now needed to tithe $1,000. And then she says, LOL, laugh out loud. Which I did, and I never have looked back. I paid off all 3 credit card debts in under 9 months. I got a job that I love. I started a nonprofit organization that's helping people change their lives. I continue to tithe, and I encourage everyone else to give it a try to see how radically your own life can transform. Right? Tithing is not a formula to get rich. God doesn't promise that, but I believe that God does promise to bless those who put him first, to guide and provide. And the key passage for my last sermon to you 2 weeks ago was Matthew 6, and we're going to look at, it's going to be the key passage again today. Just look at this with me. Why do you worry about clothes? You know this one. See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, for all these things will be given to you as well. All what things will be given to you as well? Food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear, provision. Put God first. He's going to take care of you. Now you still have to do your part. Don't think that you can be lazy and get rewarded by God. Don't think that you can be a terrible employee and do shoddy work and somehow God's going to bail you out. Don't think that you can just go blow all your excess income on fun and never save for retirement and expect God to give you a luxurious life at age 65. You got to do your part. Be a hard worker. Be a good employee. Use your brain when it comes to your finances. Budget, buy insurance, save. Do those things. But also, put God first in your finances and in all areas of your life. And then, as my grandpa's paraphrase of Matthew 6:33 goes, then everything else will turn out all right. Heading to our closing now, let's listen to some more testimonies about tithing from some of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
We used to hardly tithe at all. It used to just kill us to put probably even $20 or $40 in the offering plate. And I'll be very honest with you, Mark and I make very good salaries. And when I look back on it, I'm very ashamed that we were like that. But we really felt that it was our money,
yep,
and not his money. And then at the very end of 2008, when the economy started to go down, Mark lost his job. And that is actually when we joined our first small group. And the very first lesson that we did was on finances. And we decided we would start tithing, even with his unemployment check.
About 2 years ago, when Pastor Dave was giving his tithing sermon series, around this time of the month, I had decided to myself that this was going to be the year that I committed to tithing. He was preaching through Malachi 3, and it was just saying that we should test God in this and see how much He blesses us. And that was the only place in the whole Bible that it says you can test God. So originally I thought it was, hey, this seems like a fun idea to be able to test God and not get in trouble for it. And then it just turned into obedience from it.
Having a corporation for the first 10 years, and it's a profitable corporation, I really didn't think about tithing. It wasn't anything that was really on my mind. I already tithe personally, but looking at my private company, for me personally, it wasn't anything on my radar at all. And then I kept feeling this twinge in my heart that I needed to do more. And it was God. It was God speaking to me and putting it on my heart that I needed to give back what He's given to me. And that is a private company that is profitable, and I need to be giving a tenth off of that.
Right after Mark lost his job, we were wondering what was going to happen and thinking about making plans and what direction, was God going to send us in. And Mark had been trying to pass his professional engineering exam literally for maybe 3 to 5 years. And right when we just simply didn't know what direction he was going to go, and very soon after we started tithing, his test results came in the mail. And he thought, when he took the test, he told me, forget about it, I'm going to have to take it again. He goes, I did the worst I've ever done. I just bombed it.
I saw the letter, looked at it for a long time. I bombed this one again. And I was mad at myself. And then I opened it and I read it the first time. And I was like, no, that was a misprint. They sent the wrong letter to me. And then I read it again and had my name on it. And I just, it was like, it was a blessing that something that I've been working so hard on, and it just came true. And I believe that tithing and giving back to the community as well as to the church is the only way that this could have been done.
At first, I thought it was going to be strictly monetary with money, that God was going to just bless me with more money. But then I went back and I reread the passage, and I was just saying, that's not what God's saying. He's going to bless you, but it's not always just going to be with the money. And I just see that God has been blessing me with spiritual gifts, with friends who I can count on, with a mentor here in the church who takes time every week with me. It's just having the perseverance through the tough times, being able to walk with God, and knowing that no matter what happens, that God is there for me, and I can trust in His word that He will provide and He will bless me.
Tithing from a private company, for me personally, starts off with my relationship with Christ. It's a relationship between Christ and I and His money. And once I figured that out, it went pretty smoothly, because you just kind of have to give it over to God and take that leap of faith that you're doing what Christ wants you to do with not only his money, but the company that he's allowed you to manage. It wasn't right away, but the blessings started to come in small increments. Opening up the Family Healing Center was a big one. Getting more contracts. In my mind, I was done growing in the company. I thought, God and I, okay, I'm good. I'm stretched to my limits, Lord. But when we think that what we're doing is done, God has a much bigger plan. And for me, it all started with that tithing.
I think that what changed us was we went from a materialistic attitude as mine, 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 to where when I lost my job, we just decided that we can, you know, we're not controlling our own destiny and our own plans, but God is. And by doing that, and tithing and just following his plan, it has blessed us in so many different ways. It's just overwhelming.
The first thing I would say is just to try it, because it doesn't hurt to try. I was reluctant to do it too, but I was just saying to myself, Joe, this is something that you need to do. God says you should do it. He commands you to do it. Just do it out of obedience.
It needs to be the start with the relationship between you and God, as it did myself. And between those two relationships, listen to what's on your heart. I'm going to challenge myself and listen to my heart and be obedient to God, because I trust that relationship between Christ. He would not ask me to give more if he didn't trust me with a little bit. Just like the scripture in Luke says, I give you a little bit, trust you with that, and you're faithful with it, I will give you a lot.
If I would have known tithing was going to do what has happened in the last 5 years, I would have done 20% a long time ago. Challenge God.
Try it.
Because the blessing and everything, he will take care of you more than you could take care of yourself. And that's what we've learned.
So you see, tithing is a good sermon topic. No reason for shuddering. Give first priority to Jesus Christ and the values of his kingdom, and everything else will turn out all right. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, this teaching of yours, like so many, goes against our natural inclinations. In our nature, Father, we want to grab on and hold tight and protect what is ours. We want to worry about losing our job, our earthly source of income. But Father, your word, as we've seen today, teaches that you are our true provider, that all good things come from you, that you care about us, that you know us, and you want to give good things to us. And your word teaches us that the more we put you as our goal, the less we cling to our money and earthly things. The more we trust and honor you and put you first, the more you will take care of us. Lord, I pray that this sinks in this morning. May it sink into our hearts and minds to the point that it comes out in actual action and in changing our life habits. And this, of course, will all be to your glory. You are good and a loving and a wise God. We give you thanks and praise this morning. Amen.